Little, Cameron go out wide left. Gordon near side of the right. Whitaker and Barnage are in the shotgun on each side of Campbell. They motion Little towards the line. First and 10. He's got the shotgun snap. Throws right. Wide open. Whitaker at the 5. Stretches the ball. Touchdown. And they are right back in it.
Jim Donovan with the call on the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network. Fozzie Whitaker getting in the end zone for the Browns. Yes, a moment at least gave us some kind of hope here as we watched that game yesterday. We take you inside the locker room periodically on the show. This offensive line doing a remarkable job keeping Jason Campbell upright throughout the game. And a big part of that was the center, Alex Mack. Our own Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com sitting down with him. Jameer, take it away.
Alex, despite yesterday's loss to the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, if you could just talk about the mindset. You know, you guys played extremely well in yesterday's game. What was the mindset coming into yesterday's game?
You know, we knew we had a good defensive to play. You know, they're a real good front. They have a real good scheme. They have a lot of great players. So we had a big challenge in front of us, and it was our chance to really, like, step up and try to upset them. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way. You know, we were close, but just need to get a little bit better.
With the new quarterback under center starting for the first time, take us inside yesterday's huddle. What was Jason Campbell like?
Jason did a real good job. You know, it was loud and it's, you know, a tough environment. And he, you know, stepped right up, got the play in, you know, really cool and calm. It worked well, you know.
Speaking of being a loud environment, more like a hostile environment, but you guys never let that affect the play on the field. How are you able to block that crowd noise out?
It's tough. You know, the noise is definitely a problem. You know, it makes everything harder. It's going to be real good to come back home and play with our, you know, nice and quiet on offense and put all the pressure on their offense.
Yesterday's game was a tale of two halves. What were some of the adjustments that you guys made in the locker room at halftime?
You know, it was just going to come down to, like, extending drives. You know, we needed, like, people need to step up, make plays, extend drives, get on the field and stay there. You know, we too much in the first half, we just, you know, kind of sputtered out and didn't get a drive real started. Fortunately, we were able to make some big plays towards the end of, like, the second quarter or so and be able to get some points on the board really enabled us to do well in the second half.
Alex, after going toe-to-toe with one of the league's best defense, what does this say about this offensive line and this offensive unit as a whole?
You know, great defensive front. And it's real good to have our offensive line come up against that and see how we can perform. Proud of everybody on the whole team, you know, because it's not any one guy. It's a whole team effort. You know, Jason did a great job of getting the ball out and being a little elusive in the pocket, which really makes us look good.
Overall, there are a lot of positives to build off from yesterday's game. But how important is it to stay positive and make the necessary corrections as you guys gear up for a divisional foe this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens?
You know, win the one. It every week you want to focus on that week. So whatever happened last week, you take what you can learn from it and go and apply it to the next week. And taking that mindset, win or loss, you want to put your best game as this one. You know, so this week we're focused on the Ravens and learn what we can. Let's focus all our energy on them.
Alex, thank you for your time and good luck to you this week of preparing.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, Jameer, thank you very much, and thank you, Alex Mack, for that breakdown.
You know, I like what I heard from Alex Mack there. I liked what I saw from this line and its pass blocking. And one thing we were just talking about, I liked what I saw from Jason Campbell. And this is one thing that jumped out at me when I rewatched the game. He gets back on his dropbacks so much faster than Brandon Whedon. He almost looks like, if you go back and watch it, some of the plays, especially on a play action, he sticks the ball out there as he should, really sells the fake, but it almost looks like he is sprinting to get to the top of his drop, and his head is around, he's assessing it. I think it even buys him more time to assess the defense than Whedon had. I think maybe that could have been part of the problem. He was so slow to get back there that by the time he was looking, you add on the time to assess the defense, and then it's too late, and it seems like he's holding the ball forever. Jason Campbell got back there quickly, looked around, made his decisions, and then he also, because he was at the top of the drop, it changed the angles for the pass rushers and gave him more room to step up and to maneuver in the pocket. Yeah. There were a lot of subtle things he did very, very effectively.
Well, again, he's a better athlete overall. I mean, he's a faster, quicker guy than Brandon Whedon. That can be said about Brian Hoyer as well. If you go back to look at Brian Hoyer, he did very similar things with regard to how quickly he got back to set. And not only that, it gives you optimum ability to see. But then it's also what you see and what you know and what you
what
feel.
You do.
As fast as you get back there, if your pocket awareness is bad, then I don't think it matters. Then I
Correct.
Think all those angles and all those other elements have to be those are impactful if you are a quarterback who doesn't feel the pocket. Jason Campbell feels it extremely well. That was the first thing that really I noticed, too, is the way he just managed the play, managed the pass play, clock ticking in his head. You could almost feel it. And then when the rush got to a certain point, that ball was going to be out, and he wasn't going to be hurried in throwing it. And for the most part, even though there were some individual battles that were won inside when the Chiefs tried to change up their rushing combinations, tried to bring a little more inside pressure than outside pressure, he was ready for that too because he could feel that coming. And, okay, the ball's got to come out. Trajectory has to be a little bit different. Smart, experienced, really good athlete. I think that's what you get. Jamie, by the way, in Mansfield wants to join us now if he or she is still there. Jamie?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, guys. That's a great segue into actually my question. The Browns' upper management, now they've seen a pocket passer in like Brandon Weeden and how that operates in our offense. And they've also seen a quarterback who can get out and scramble and make a play and how they function in the offense. My question is, does this affect they look at the upcoming draft? Are they leaning more toward a quarterback who can get out and move and make a play, like a Mariota or a Bridgewater or even a Johnny Manziel, over a pocket passer like, in my opinion, A.J. McCarron or an Aaron Murray?
Yeah, I don't know that they're leaning in any particular style direction. I think it's you're looking at the whole package of what a quarterback can be and do. I do think playmaking matters, having that skill, but he better have everything else. You mentioned Mariota, and yes, he does have that playmaking ability, as does Johnny Manziel, but do they have everything else you need? The frustration in trying to assess the quarterbacks, though, in this particular group, and maybe it's every year now, is they all work from the same damn offense. You don't have differentiation with the offense that translates well to the NFL. It's all the spread stuff. They're all doing the same thing. You really got to have a keen eye to differentiate these quarterbacks and project them into your team.
No, that's exactly right, and that's why you're seeing a lot of teams in the NFL start to incorporate some of those spread option and read option principles, because that's what these guys are running, and that's the wave of the future. I think you look at Norv Turner, he's had success with pocket passers. Obviously, Phillip Rivers is never going to be considered amongst the 31 most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL at any point that he's in the league. So he's had success with that, and you also see what guys who can move around a little bit can do, and we've seen that all throughout the NFL. Andrew Luck is... that's what you want, a guy who's a great pocket passer, but then you forget that he's a great runner. He can do that. Kaepernick, same thing. He doesn't need to run, but all of a sudden the last few weeks he's starting to run a little more, and he's a difference maker that way. So there are some guys out there, and I think for the most part this year's class, there are only a couple of them that I would call traditional pocket passers. For the most part, they're all pretty mobile guys, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out here. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, you will hear from the head coach himself, Rob Chudzinski, stops by in studio, and that is right after this. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci will be back with more, including the head ball coach, right after this. It don't matter what plans I got, I can break.